Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome to episode 182 of the English with Kirsty podcast. Today I have another interview for you, and I was talking to Janina Neumann, who is a bilingual business owner, and she's talking about her experiences of living and working across different cultures. And we get into all kinds of interesting conversations, to be honest, because we kept finding interesting things to talk about. So I won't do too much of an introduction now, but I hope you enjoy the interview. I hope it gives you some things to think about, especially if you are in this situation where you're working with people perhaps in the UK or in Germany. But also, even if you're not, sometimes people are just really interesting in the way we interact with one another and the way that can differ from culture to culture. So I hope you enjoy the interview. And if you have any questions, then you can use the show notes page. You can contact us via the show notes page, which for this episode will be www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode182. So hi, Janine, it's really good that you're here. Thank you for coming on the English with Kirsty podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Kirsty. It's really exciting to be here.
Oh, that's great. Maybe you could start by just telling us something about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I'm Janina Neumann. I'm a bilingual German-English graphic designer, intercultural management trainer, and business owner of Janina Neumann Design. So J&D is a bilingual design company, helping clients create a social impact in the UK and abroad. So working with social enterprises, charities, and council, I help clients communicate messages equally effectively across different languages and cultures. So I speak English and German fluently, and I also have a keen interest in learning new languages such as French and Farsi.
Oh, another language enthusiast. That's great. I love languages too. So you say that you speak English and German fluently. So I understand that you came from Germany originally and then you moved to the UK. Have you noticed any differences in the way that people communicate? So not the language itself, but the way people interact. And was there anything that you had to get used to when you started living here?
Yes, so I moved to the UK when I was 4 years old, but then I moved back to Germany, and then I came to the UK again when I was 9 years old, and I've stayed here ever since. When I was 9 years old, I just noticed that it was just really interesting how to communicate with other children and how they formed the kind of very close-knit friendship groups, just like in Germany as well. But as I grew older, I realised that, Germans generally tend to be a bit more direct with what they mean, whereas British people seem to be a little bit more indirect. So they act in a more of a high context way compared to German people.
Yeah, I think that can be quite hard. I know some people, I mean, I do quite like the directness. I think it saves a lot of time and saves worrying, you know, what did that person actually mean? If they tell you directly, then you don't have to think as much. And so I quite like that style. But I know that some of my other friends and customers have said that when they moved to the UK from Germany, it was sometimes quite confusing. So they thought they'd be okay because they understood English and they did understand what people were saying, but that wasn't really what they meant. Have you had anything like that? Or
yeah, definitely. And also I notice it on projects when I work with like a German team. It's very, you know, structured, the feedback. It will like clearly reference the page. There won't be much of I hope you're well, like I have with my British clients. But it's always really personable and polite, and you actually build a really nice relationship in a different way. So the way Germans tend to trust is task-based. So if you do a good job, they trust you more and more. Whereas in the UK, it's a bit more relationship based. So when things come up in the UK, that sometimes if you have a good relationship, you can actually overcome barriers a lot quicker than perhaps with German people, because you know their criteria of how they trust you to deliver next time is based on different things. And it's also important to note, like, in Germany, it's very much like linear time, whereas in the UK is a bit more flexible time, that especially with deadlines. When someone says to me in the UK, you know, I will get back to you, like, my German perspective thinks, okay, I will give them a maximum of 1 week, because that's when I expect it by. But they might not come back to me then. And whereas, you know, in Germany, if they have some things that they need to follow up on, they might just actually write me an email to say, actually, I will come back to you in 5 days. Whereas perhaps someone in the UK might not let me know that something else has come up, because they've promised me is that they'll come back to me.
Yeah, and that can sometimes mean I'm not going to come back to you, but it's the polite thing to say, like, oh yeah, let's go for lunch sometime. They have no intention of doing that, but it's the polite thing to say. So that can be a bit confusing. You're waiting for this lunch invitation that never shows up. It's like, okay.
That's a great point, especially when it is about relationship building in the UK. You do take it sometimes as, oh, you do want to get to know me. But yeah, sometimes reading between the lines, understanding kind of the context. For example, recently I saw a LinkedIn post and basically someone had commented, I love how simple your website is. So from an English perspective, I immediately thought, are they being sarcastic? Like, are they saying that the website isn't informative? But then from a language learner perspective, and also perhaps from a German perspective, I thought, okay, so they actually mean that they like the website because it is easy to navigate and also clearly communicates what they do. So I found that really interesting.
Yeah, people have said that about my website too, and I've chosen to believe it's a good thing because it doesn't have a lot of clutter on it. But I guess, yeah, some people could mean that to mean like, oh, you know, it's more plain rather than, you know, simple being a good thing. It's reading between the lines sometimes. And I think there are also crossovers, like with my communication style does tend to be quite direct, so I don't really fit the English stereotype. So when you're meeting with people, you never really know, like, you can have a general expectation of how things are going to go, but you'll never really know until you actually get to know that person.
Definitely. And also, I think experiences blend you as a person. So, you know, you do international work, so also that their communication style, you might slowly fit in. Like, I sometimes really struggle with, I want to be direct, and then I stumble because I feel like I can't be direct, but the other person is expecting me to be direct because of how I write my emails. And then I'm just thinking, what is going on with Janina? Because she feels like, it looks like she's, you know, not expressing herself. And they, you know, they jump to other conclusions, like, oh, something bad has happened. And, you know, and talking to people say, you know, I actually like that you're quite direct and you, trying to get things sorted. But, you know, it's also being just aware, as you say, you know, everyone's different and these are generalizations.
And also there are differences when you're working in a language that isn't your native language. Like for me, when I, it's not so much an issue now, but when I started working in teams where there was a team that I was the only English person in a German speaking team, my emails were quite to the point. I expressed my opinions, that wasn't a problem. But when we met for the first time, I was so shy because that was the first time I'd ever worked in that kind of situation using German. So everybody thought that I was shy or that I didn't have an opinion, whereas I was just really struggling to be myself in that other language. I had to learn how to do that and to make my personality come across well in the other language. And that takes time, so that the version of a person you see may not be like the real them if they're working really hard to portray that in another language.
That's so true. I really found that when I learned Farsi. I constantly felt like I couldn't be kind of open enough. I had to kind of be reserved because you don't want to offend anyone. And also, you know, there are cultural ways of adapting. You know, if someone says, oh, I wouldn't go into such detail, like, for example, in the Persian culture, you don't really go into such detail about your day, whilst I find that in the German culture, you do go into like your day and describe how it was. But then I was thinking, well, this is who I am. Like they keep asking me more and more about my day. So I'm going to tell them more and more about my day.
If you don't want to know, don't ask the question. Yes. And also like one language, when I think of, for example, the communication style for English in the UK is not the same as English in the US a lot of the time. And sometimes when people try to use things that may work in one country, they won't necessarily work in the other. And I was wondering, do you do much work in other German speaking countries like Switzerland or Austria? Do you find there are any differences there?
I'm at the moment do any work there, but my godfather is from Switzerland. And it was just quite interesting having some conversations because a lot of German people work in Switzerland, but live in Germany. And he said that, you know, sometimes the directness of the Germans comes across the wrong way, because actually in Switzerland, it's a bit more subtle and you try and work things out before you announce it to everyone. So I found that quite interesting. Because, you know, Switzerland's composed of so many different languages as well, but I just find that's quite interesting, is that there is still an expectation. So even though you speak German in the office in Switzerland, there's a different like cultural way of doing things.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't know you've made a mistake or you've made some kind of comment that could be taken the wrong way. Like people aren't always going to come out and say, you know, you were rude this morning in the team meeting or something like that. They may just form a conclusion themselves, or like come to their own conclusion and think, okay, well, either she doesn't like me, or, you know, she's not on board with this project, or where really it wasn't meant that way at all. So I think it's always good to kind of drill down if something isn't working well in terms of a relationship, like what is really happening, because what you think might be happening isn't necessarily what the other person thinks is happening.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's when it comes down to like actually making friends in that environment who might say to you, you know, oh, I would do this a bit differently, or maybe describe a story, you know, of how other people interact. And I think actually perhaps getting to know people, you know, I always think like eating food or cooking food together brings out so much of about that person, about the culture, where they learnt the recipes. I think it tells you a lot about that person and gives like a kind of a relaxed environment to get to know them.
Yeah, I think that's also interesting. Where like some cultures are more open to doing that, aren't they? To kind of, I mean, you can do it with your friends in any culture, but in terms of the business and home life division is kind of stronger in some cultures than in others.
Definitely.
Like, this is work time, this is home time. No, I'm not going to meet with you after work because this is my time. Whereas other people might be more open to that and going for dinner or spending time together.
Yeah, I find that quite interesting in the UK actually, because I would expect that they would actually, in a work environment, would come together a bit more like socially, but I usually think it has to be organized by someone to do an event and then that's when people come. Whereas like in Germany, you know, a lot of companies might like go out after work or meet or at lunchtime, spend time together. And I just found that quite interesting about, you know, although, you know, some people say that the German culture, you know, you kind of compartmentalize work and personal time. But then also in the UK, there are like clear boundaries of I will be friendly with you, but only like in work time, and I won't meet with you outside of work time.
That's interesting. I didn't really have that experience in London. I'm wondering whether it's like geographical differences.
That's really interesting.
Everyone was in the pub every day, not every day, but.
Oh, that's really interesting. So I'm based in Gloucestershire, so between Birmingham and Bristol. So I wonder whether that could be a geographic difference. Maybe,
but I think everybody was, even people that could drive generally didn't, like my colleagues who could drive. So everybody was getting some kind of public transport. And maybe we just thought, okay, I could get on a crowded train or I could go with a colleague for a glass of wine and then it won't be so full. I think there was that kind of mentality that people weren't in such a rush. Although I guess it depends on who's in the team as well, because there were a lot of single people there or people who didn't have other responsibilities. So I guess it was a bit easier for us to go home late because either nobody cared or the people that did care were with us, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, it's definitely a way to get to know people, because I found that people from other departments, if they got to know me, we had a spontaneous meal out or something. Next time I needed some help from them or to ask them to do something for our department, it did make it easier because they knew me from our social activities and it wasn't just some random person emailing asking for work from them. It was better.
Yeah, and you kind of understand how that person is, like if they behave in the same way socially as they do at work, like communication wise you kind of read their emails as well in a different way. That's why I always love like talking to people on the phone first, because I then have their voice in my head and then I can interpret their emails a bit differently.
Yeah, some people just write very functional emails, don't they? You don't see so much of their personality, but that doesn't mean they don't have one. It just means that it doesn't come out in the email so much.
Yes, definitely. And I also suppose, you know, it depends on kind of the, so-called brand guidelines within that organization of how, you know, how friendly you are, how you sign off signatures, how you communicate as well.
That often comes up with my German customers, because, you know, like in a lot of English people or people in the UK don't write anything before their names. It's not like kind regards or have a nice weekend. It's just Kirsty, which can sound quite abrupt or quite unfriendly, like what did I do wrong, whereas actually that's just how they sign off all of their emails. There isn't so much of an emphasis on finding something nice to put before your name.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. I suppose it's actually got a little bit more so-called informal at the end, I've noticed in the UK, with how you sign off. But also it depends of how, you know, how you communicate, like coming back to if you're like that in your business, then people understand where you're coming from as well.
Because they know you.
Yes.
I think we've covered a lot of ground in terms of the differences, but if somebody were planning to come to the UK to work from Germany or another German speaking country, are there any more tips that you could give them for, you know, how to make that easier or things to avoid or, you know, things that you did that helped you?
Yeah, so actually in Germany, there's lots of family businesses. So it's similar in the UK. They're like either family businesses or they're sole traders or micro businesses. So that's really important to know, because they have like similar values in the way that there's like longevity in the business. And it's very personal. It's important to get to know everyone in the organization. You know, the person, for example, the marketing manager might be, I don't know, the daughter of the sales director. You know, just understanding that it's a bit more close-knit, perhaps, than you might initially think. But then also, I think it's important to know about like the networking groups that are available. And you know, they range in being quite informal to very structured, and just being aware of like that different businesses have different goals, like they do in Germany. And it's just important to find where you fit in with your goals for your business, or if you work for an organization, to understand that. But yes, I would say that it's also in like work-wise, I think it goes a long way. For example, in the UK, if you make a tea for everyone every once in a while, perhaps once a week or so, or every day, depending on how often you drink tea. And it's not about obviously the gesture that you made by making them tea. It's also an opportunity to actually go and talk to someone and really build that relationship again. I think that's quite important.
Yeah, those things that we, I guess, at the moment with a lot of people working from home, you don't have those same conversations around the coffee machine, or, you know, yeah. If you can't do that, then finding some way to kind of check in with people in a more, like, it doesn't have to be, I want to know if you're going to meet this deadline. It's just like, yeah, hi, how are you? How was your weekend? You know, people respond well to that. And especially if you remember what they said from last time you spoke to them, like, even if you can't remember, if you like make some notes, if they're not going to see them, you know. So, but people are really surprised sometimes when you show that you did listen to what they were saying about their dog needing to go to the vets. I always pick up on the animal stuff because I love animals, but it could be anything, you know, children, holiday plans, anything. If you show that you didn't just ask it, because I think that's another thing, like we say, oh, how are you, how was your weekend, because it's a thing that you say, but if you genuinely want to know or remember something, or, you know, how did your house move go or something like that, you know, that they were moving, then yeah, it shows that you're interested in the individual rather than just making small talk.
Yeah, that's really important. And coming back to how are you, you know, it's the tone also. If you, how someone asks how are you, they might say you're right, and that doesn't mean necessarily to answer the question.
And I'm also having a terrible day and my
but also on emails I find it even more confusing, because now it's I hope that you're well, it's not how are you anymore. So I'm always trying to read between the lines. And also I feel like, how long is my email if I respond to how I am? And
yeah, that's true. I've written that in the past. I think I write it because I do genuinely hope that people are well, but it's also like, rather than, I don't want to just start with the business, like, I want this document from you. It's a bit of a nicer way to start. But yeah, I could understand why that is a bit confusing sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't notice it as such with my my German clients. They might put it at the end of the email sometimes. But, you know, I just sometimes feel that it's important to be responsive to that when you're dealing with like a client in the UK, or if you've moved from Germany to the UK, to actually, you know, say, I hope that you're well, or put a question mark behind it. I usually do that. It might not be quite grammatically correct, but I then ask them whether they want to respond to that or not. So I kind of give them a hint.
Especially at the moment, because, you know, sometimes people might not be, so they might not want to respond, but if they do, but also I guess it's like the balance with not oversharing as well. Yes. Like when somebody asks that, unless you can tell sometimes, but often people don't want to know your entire life story. Yeah, sometimes they don't actually want to know, so it's really hard. I mean, I want to know if I ask people, but sometimes it's just like, oh, how are you, like it's a thing that we say, so I guess you only really know that when you know the people a bit better.
Yeah, definitely. And you can always, you know, just say, I'm well, thank you, how are you, or I hope you're well. I think just engaging with that a little bit helps to build that relationship, so that they understand that you understand how emails are written in the UK. I think that's sometimes very important. Like yesterday I met someone, a business owner, and previously he was in the army, and he was stationed in Germany, and he signed off with a hope to meet for Kaffee und Kuchen. And that just really, you know, warmed my heart up. And he doesn't even know, because he's just, you know, he's obviously just showing that he can speak German. But I just understanding that he understands the kind of the meaning behind that really helped build that relationship.
Yeah, that's a thing you get used to. Like from the UK, when I went to Germany for the first time, it was like so much cake. I know they don't, like the family I was with didn't do that all the time, but it was because I was there and we were meeting different people, and I was like, oh my goodness, I need to go and do some running or something now.
Yeah, no, it is nice.
It's funny, but yeah, it's a nice way to get to know people, have a chat, have a coffee, share some cake. So you mentioned other languages, French and Farsi. So how has learning those helped you to understand more about those that you already speak, or how has it helped you to develop as a linguist? Apart from just, you know, learning those languages, has it helped you in other ways?
Yeah. So when I learned English, I had to relearn it when I came to the UK when I was nine. And I kind of picked it up from my surroundings. And as I got better and I had to do my SATs, I kind of always wanted to just improve my English, because the better English that I spoke, the better grades I would get. Mm. And that was kind of my motivation. And when I also did French at secondary school, I kind of didn't understand that there's also a process to learning a language. So I didn't really understand that, for example, you have to learn the grammar rules, like for example, what subjunctive is, like understanding those things. And that's why I was just frightened really to speak any French. I was always happy to read it and I could understand it well, but the thing is, if you're too scared to speak, you don't actually learn the language. Because it doesn't really tie in together. It's almost as if you're just learning a paragraph from a book off by heart. Mm. Like you don't really understand the application. And I really understood this when I learned Farsi, because I then started to understand, okay, this actually makes sense to learn the grammar and to understand how it's structured. And, you know, to speak to another native speaking person of that language is really nice for them, because you can, they really appreciate it, because they're hearing like their mother tongue. Mm. So you need to understand that, okay, you're going to speak the language, you're going to make mistakes, but actually they really enjoy hearing the language from you, because it almost kind of makes you closer, because yeah. Because you're speaking in their mother tongue. So once I kind of understood that, I became less afraid to speak it and just be a bit more daring of, okay, how could I put these words into a sentence? And then I learn about, you know, you put this, for example, the adjective like in a different place, or the verb. And it just makes it so much more enjoyable, and your kind of brain relaxes. So you're actually taking a bit more information.
Yeah, it's making that connection rather than just learning information. And I think when people say, oh, why are you learning languages? Everyone speaks English, which firstly, everybody doesn't speak English, but it's a different kind of connection when I'm speaking to my friends from other cultures in their language, then it's different. It shows that I'm interested. It shows that I'm willing to learn, and not expecting them to do all the work all the time, because that is a bit lazy, expecting other people to do all the work all the time. But yeah, it's a different kind of connection. It makes it, I guess it kind of brings it alive, doesn't it? It's not just something you have to do at school, but if you've got a friend who speaks that language, or you know, working with people, then it does make it more of a personal thing.
Yes, definitely. And you get to know about their culture a little bit more. Like, for example, in Farsi, they might say a sentence which describes a kind of like a mini story. And basically, you have to understand kind of the values and the moral of the story, which I found really interesting, because it just shows a different way of communicating, and that's why I understand that, you know, in Persian history there are so many famous poets, and it's kind of like a romantic language to learn. So that was quite interesting as well.
Definitely lots to think about. I'm going to add your links to the show notes page, but where else can we find you online, and what's the best way for people to connect with you to find out more about what you do?
Oh, thank you very much, Kirsty. You're welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn. I'd love to speak with you. The easiest way to find the Janina Neumann Design website is under www.bilingualdesign.co.uk. And if you'd like, you're also welcome to listen to my podcast. It's called the Bicultural Podcast, and it celebrates bicultural individuals and gives insight into cultural differences to help you improve business relationships.
Yeah, I can recommend that too. I definitely think that you should go and check out the podcast as well. So
thank you.
Well, thanks for your time today.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.